And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into 3D here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland here at the desk, Bridgestone Arena, inside Barrel House, outside sections 111, 112. What does that mean? It means the Predators have a home game tonight before they are back on the road. It was a one-game road trip on Saturday to Chicago, one-game homestand tonight against Colorado, and then back out on the road for games back in the Eastern Conference again, including a Saturday morning tilt. Excited about that.
You're very excited about that.
I am. Madison Square Garden. Little eggs, little breakfast.
Yeah.
10:30 pregame, 11:30 puck drop. That does not stink. I think hockey should incorporate this more, or at least the Predators.
I can see you just sitting in the studio with, you know, your eggs and bacon.
No, a buffet.
A buffet?
Yes.
Is that what
Executive
you want?
Chef Steve will have to work on Saturday since he is lazy and has way too many vacation days. He's going to have to work this weekend. He has to work Saturday, period.
Okay.
He needs to bring in a nice spread on Saturday. They'll be in Philadelphia to take on the Flyers on Thursday, and then the Rangers Saturday morning. But tonight it's the Colorado Avalanche. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6. All heard right here on 102.5 The Game. They've had 5 points out of a possible 6 in their last 3 games. So felt like they got hosed Saturday in Chicago, got a point taken away from them. But there's nothing you can do about it now.
Nope, got to move on. And, you know, the Avalanche have been a little bit surprising early on in the season. So this should be a good matchup. And obviously you have Colin Wilson returning. It'll be his first game back. Interested to see what kind of reception he gets. Obviously has a lot of friends on this team. Was part of the cup run last year. So that should be an interesting storyline as well.
This is why we don't evaluate a hockey season 5 and 6 games ends.
Yep.
Yeah, Colorado's off to a nice start. But over 82 games, does anybody believe we're still going to be talking about them?
I don't.
In 3 months? I don't either. Only thing I think we'll be talking about is another high draft pick for them. But nonetheless, they're off to a good start. And this is a game the Predators have been so good at home. Obviously, they have taken care of business at home this year in the regular season. They need to take care of business tonight because this is a team you have to beat at home. No doubt about it. And there's some news on that front. We know Yannick Weber, speaking of home games, their last home game, hit by Martin Hansel in the first period, did not return to the game when they were playing the Stars. He has been put on IR. Nick Bonino, who didn't practice yesterday, left the game on Saturday in Chicago. They have recalled Freddie Gaudreau.
Yeah, the Predators' leading goal scorer from the Stanley Cup Final.
Remember that for sports bar trivia one day. You'll get it when you're sitting there, get that little set in front of you, and who led the Predators in goals in the Stanley Cup Final against the Penguins in the 2016-17 season? Your answer? I'm going to say C, Freddie Gaudreau.
Bonus question.
Because they'll give you like A, PK Subban, B, Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg, C, Frederick Gaudreau.
And bonus question, did he have a locker when he did this?
D, Colton Sissons. See, people were like, oh boy.
Yeah,
4 years from now, people will be like, well, wait a minute.
We're going to write this down today. And, you know, 2-3 years from now when we need to do Predators trivia, we got our question. We'll see if people were paying attention.
Okay.
I like it.
Sounds fair to me. Last night, good win for the Titans over the Colts. Yes, the streak is done. It's over. And they're not going to play it up as big as we know it really is, but they're tired of the streak questions.
Oh, yeah.
They're ready to put that behind them. It was very apparent when they were doing the interviews post game.
Yeah. Some of the media scrums that I was in last night, you could tell, you know, some guys like Brian Arakpo was, you know, saying how good it felt to do that it was a good division win. It, you know, put them in a good position going into the last game before the bye. Of course, and then of course like a typical football player moved on, you know, we got the Browns coming up. They're a good team.
Yeah, no. we're right? not. But nobody's ready to move on to the Browns yet.
But he did say we're going to enjoy this a little bit. So he was one of those that was excited about it, felt good about it, and then you had some guys that, you know, Taylor Lewan was kind of one of those. That's like, hey, yeah, you know, I don't really care about a streak. We want a football game. We want a matchup, a AFC South matchup. So that's the most important thing. And he also talked about his exploding shoe. So that was that was something Taylor Lewan got into last
really?
Night.
Really? His exploding shoe?
Towards the end of the game, his cleat that he had been wearing for a while blew apart. Like, he blew a tire.
Oh, wow.
And so he had to wear Brian Schwenke, one of his cleats.
Was he wobbling?
A little. Not bad. But it was. He was talking about it last night, and he said Brian Schwenke was able to give him a cleat real quick, or a, you know, one of his cleats, and for him to finish the game. But it was pretty funny. But yeah, you know, it was a happy locker room, and it had been a while since you know, we had seen that at home. So they were in good spirits last night. Derrick Henry, of course, having a big game. I think that was good to see. And I asked Rishard Matthews after the game about, you know, all wins feel good, but to see big plays be made in all three phases, does it feel like it's a complete win? And that's something that they had been looking for. And, you know, he talked about battling back and staying in it into the second half and then really turning it on in the fourth quarter, and that was a big confidence boost. So see what happens from here.
Hmm. So did he get a full-size cleat in return, or was it just like a smaller cleat, like the donut tire?
No.
Was it a full spare, or is it the, you know, the little spare?
He actually got a bigger the spare was bigger than the original.
Well, there you go.
Because he said he was a size 13, and Schwenke was a size 14.
Huh.
So he had to change it up a little bit.
He was very animated after that sequence on first and goal, where they only came away with a field goal.
Yeah.
Did he elaborate on why he was so animated on the sidelines? Certainly the cameras were making sure they stayed on him as he sat down when he came off the field. He was saying a lot. I don't know exactly what he was saying it or what he was saying or who he was directing it towards. I guess he was probably mad that they got a little cute there on first and goal and did not do what they did later in the game, and that's just cram it down Indy's throat.
He was addressing that right as I kind of got over to him. I had been bouncing around the locker room and with different media scrums, but he wanted a touchdown. That was his, you know, Taylor, he's a competitor, and he said they were disappointed and they were frustrated in the fact that they were not getting it into the end zone early in the game. Gave credit to Ryan Succop, which
Ryan
a lot
Succop
of the guys were giving
fantastic.
Credit to. But that the streak he's on is just fantastic. But they wanted touchdowns, and so I think that was kind of their frustration. But you know, the thing that impressed me the most, Darren, was even though they were frustrated in settling for field goals, which we have seen at times throughout this season, they didn't back down, they didn't give up, and then eventually you saw things start to click. Eric Decker, it was time. And Eric Decker had a hell of a game. Rishard Matthews had a really good game catching the ball, and then you had the run game. So, I mean, it was like they stuck with it, and then everything kind of started to click together. Still some things they got to clean up, you know, going into this week and into the bye. But if they can build off of this and use this as a jumping point, you might see a different Titans team down the stretch.
Well, we've been saying it all year. Run, run, run.
Yeah, and they did it.
Well, they didn't have a choice.
No.
Let's be perfectly honest.
No, and okay, so
Mariota, it was a statue. He could not move, and it was very, very, very clear early on in the game that he was just going to be pocket guy, pocket Mariota on Monday night. And that's fine. Pocket Mariota is still five times better than Matt Castle, 100%
yes.
healthy. And that's the way I look at it, and that's why he played. If they had done a better job with their backup quarterback situation, probably Mariota doesn't play. But because they have botched that big time, royally, he is forced to play. And as long as he can just move, as in side to side, step to step, he's going to be playing. And then that's the way that's going to be. But the way I look at it, I think this can actually help him in his career. I was thinking this the whole night. Well, I shouldn't say the whole night, because you out there listening, tell me you didn't think. I think we all went through this at 19-9. Are you kidding me? This is going to happen again?
Right.
Really? Right? We all did that.
Oh, yeah.
At 19-9, it's not looking good. Interception, pick six. You're thinking, golly.
That was bad.
We've seen this. We've seen this so many times. Is this going to be number 12? Is this going to be one and 17 in the last 18? Really? We all went through that last night. Mm-hmm. I feel comfortable in saying that. I think it was very clear at that moment. Everybody screamed out loud, "Are you kidding me?"
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a big conversation.
To their credit, they settled in and took over the game after that. They turned into a different team. Mariota played his tail off after that. I think this can help him, because this is what he needs to get better at. You know, we've talked about it in year three. Derek and I, in particular, have talked about this a lot. We know he can run. We know he's a leader. We know all the positives, all the check marks for Marcus Mariota. The one thing that he's got to get better at is some of his throws.
Right.
And maybe this is going to help him turn into the complete quarterback. We also talked about, especially after the Raiders game, Derek and I harped on, it's time for him to put this team on his back at times and win games, like Derek Carr did.
Right.
Derek Carr saddled his team up and put him on his back and rode him to the finish line. It was time for Mariota. Well, he did that last night.
He did.
He took over the game, and he led his team to victory. I think these are all things moving forward, because, look, he's not going to wake up this week, and in Cleveland, he's going to be back to himself. I don't know if he will return to form at all this season. I don't know. Hamstrings are very, very tricky. Maybe he does get back to 100%, but you can get back to 100% and tweak it,
right?
You know, on the simplest play or simplest thing. There's no rhyme or reason why things get re-aggravated. So if this is what he's going to be, or he has to play a little bit differently this year, I'm not sure for the long term this is a bad thing. I think he can learn a lot being forced to stay in the pocket, because there were times, you know, last night when he wanted to pull that sucker down and take off, because that's what he's done his whole career. And he's very good at it. Don't get me wrong. We saw in the Dolphins game where he got hurt. I mean, if it wasn't for him, there's nothing. I mean, not the Dolphins game, the game before that when he got hurt. When he had the two touchdowns, the Houston game.
Yeah.
I mean, if it wasn't for him, I don't think they even score against Houston. I mean, he was their lone bright spot in a blowout. Robbie Stanley, everybody, looking good as always. NHL.com. They have amped up his suits this year, his stylist. You think Willie D's got a stylist, you should check out Robbie Stanley's stylist. But this can help him moving forward, because it's going to force him to do things he's not accustomed to doing, and I think that can only help him. I think one game in, I feel very good about that. Subject to change, but right now I feel good moving forward, because I think this is how he's going to have to adjust himself the rest of the season, or for a good portion. You know, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what it's going to be with the hamstring injury. How long is this going to hamper him? How long is this going to force him to be the quarterback that we saw last night? It's going to be again next week. Cleveland is going to be the same one.
Right. And quite frankly, to your point, I'm okay with that. You kind of saw a tale of two halves with Marcus Mariota. The first half, you could tell there were times he looked uncomfortable having to stand there in the pocket and not be able to improvise and roll out. Now, they let him do it a little bit in the second half, but it also seems like he kind of grew into it. And then as he got more comfortable, which was after the pick six, then you saw him start to make big throws. He then seemed like it became natural. There were times in the first half where you could tell where he really wanted to run, and it was almost like you're training a dog and you have the whistle, and there was a guy on the sideline with the whistle.
Or the electric collar.
Or the shock collar.
The shock collar.
No, no Marcus.
With the electric
no
fence.
Marcus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it was almost like that. But as he got more comfortable with it, then it seemed like it worked for him. And that's impressive to me that he can adapt so quickly. And I think that that's, you know, just another example of, you know, how smart he is and just how built for this position Marcus Mariota is. So if this is going to be the case the rest of the season, I'm with you. I think it's going to help him.
He's going to have to do the same thing on Sunday. And let's just all be perfectly honest. Let's just go on and say this on Tuesday rather than say it every day this week, which we'll probably still
yes.
fall into that trap and say it every day this week. This is a must win.
Absolutely.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
You can't be the one.
You can't, right.
You can't be the one.
You're tied for first.
Right.
It's a logjam in the
yep.
division. And it's there for the taking. By the way, John Gruden was very grumpy last night. He was.
I didn't get to hear. I was in the
right.
press box.
So he was very much like telling the Titans to wake up. I mean, he was very critical in the first half.
Well, was he wrong?
No, I'm saying I'm getting kind of tired of everybody coming on this show or listening to like John Gruden. Everybody's saying how talented the Titans are. The Titans should win this division. The Titans
yeah.
are the better team. Everybody's saying Titans, Titans, Titans. Well, it's time to do it. It's time to knock down that door. You cannot, and I repeat, you cannot lose to the Browns. You cannot really? Have this win and end that streak and get a big division win and go to Cleveland and lose to the Browns.
If I had told you back in the summer that the Titans would have been in a position to go to be at 4-3, be above 500, have a winning record, going into the bye, that they're in position to possibly do that, what would you have said? Because that's where we're at right now. They could be in pretty good shape going into the bye week.
I would say 4-3 would not be ideal. You'd like for it to be a little bit better if you're talking about before the season begins, because you're thinking Jacksonville's probably going to be a little bit worse. Nobody was counting on Indy to be a factor because of the luck situation, and they're just not very good.
Right.
I think everybody would have thought Houston would be better. Of course, nobody could see their injuries coming, although J.J. Watt is probably now going to be tagged. But we say you don't want to get tagged. I think he may be tagged into the injury-prone category, which every player dreads. I think 4-3, you're still okay, because we know AFC South, it's not going to take 12 wins to win the AFC
no.
South. 4-3, you'll be okay with. You'd probably like for it to be a chance to get your fifth win
yeah.
going into the bye week. But 4-3, I guess if you're asking me, would I have signed up for 4-3 after the bye week or going into the bye week? I would say probably reluctantly yes.
Okay. I definitely would have. I understand, like, you would want more, and there's – you know, you obviously want to look back at the schedule, and there's some you want back. I think Oakland is probably at the top of the list.
Miami and Oakland, I mean, are just
right.
You know, Seattle you get, which, you know, that could have gone – people would have picked either way.
Yeah.
Probably more people would even pick Seattle. So you get that win, but you'd like to have Miami and Oakland back. Not that they both should be wins, but you'd like to see one of those.
Miami should have been a win.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It just should have been a win.
Well,
we'll move on from it, but
yeah.
I'm still.
So, to answer your question, yes, I would have reluctantly signed up for it. Mark Hall on Twitter said, "DMAC, I was in section 133, and when the pick six happened right in front of us, I was sick. Proud to see the course corrected. Marcus Mariota is clutch." Like I said, I think this can help him moving forward. I really do.
Yeah.
This is a chance for him to become more of a complete player, because long term in this league, he just cannot, even though it's such a weapon, we've just have too much proof over time. If you tuck and run that much
yep.
in this league, you're just bound to get hurt. And Russell Wilson has had to adjust his.
Yeah.
Others have had to adjust their running. Marcus Mariota is going to have to adjust as much as it hurts, because, like I said, he's so effective. If he wants to be upright more and he doesn't want to get tagged and he doesn't want to be missing a lot of games, he's going to have to adjust his style. And that comes with staying in the pocket more. When there were times last night, old Mariota would have tucked and ran. And now
he wanted to.
He's, and by the way, he's gotten better. He's gotten really good at knowing when to get down.
Yep.
He has. I'm just saying the odds are stacked against you. You keep putting bullets in there and playing roulette, you're going to eventually get hurt. I mean, it's just
right.
It's just bound to happen in this league. So the less he tucks and runs and the more he hangs in there. Now, you don't want him to be Ben Roethlisberger hanging in there.
Right.
Because Ben Roethlisberger gets crushed hanging in the pocket too long. You want him to get rid of it. But I think this can help him. I think this is an extra element to his game that can push him forward and give him more longevity and more stability and the ability to hang around. That's what everybody wants. Nobody wants to get to their backup. The Titans are going to have to do a better job with their backup. They're going to have to get a better one because you have to. But you don't want to ever get to your backup.
No.
You want your quarterback to play 15, 16 games a year. That's what you're looking for, your franchise quarterback.
Right.
The good ones, that's how they keep making the playoffs every year when their quarterback's around. Watch what happens to the Packers. You can give me all this stuff. Yeah, they've got a capable backup, and that's fine. You watch how different it looks with Aaron Rodgers to any backup. Mm-hmm. And the Packers, we've seen it years ago, and they fell apart. And I suspect they'll probably fall apart again. Did you see when he went down in the first quarter, how that Packers team looked the rest of the way?
It looked like a completely different team.
Yeah, that's probably the way it's going to look the rest of the season. All right, we'll come back. Speaking of, we'll talk to Joe Rexroad. He was there at Nissan Stadium last night, the columnist for the Tennessean. Talk more about the game last night, Predators and Avalanche tonight, but the Titans in the 11-game losing streak to the Colts last night. We'll do that next on 3D, 102.5 The Game. Right now, it's McFarland and McCabe. D-Mace will be back with us tomorrow. Willie will join the show a little bit later. Speaking of a little bit later, this is what I know coming up in the second hour of the program. Also, Kevin McCarthy, Predators assistant coach, will sit down at the table with us to kick off the third hour. And then a little bit later in the show, in the fourth and final hour, Heather Denich.
Yes.
From ESPN, we'll get into
playoff time.
This is when it's time to start talking about those 14. There's going to be a big one, obviously. Jimmy Franks, James Franklin, and his Nittany Lions hosting Michigan. That'll be a big one Saturday night. So we'll get into all that with her a little bit later. And Penn State, I think they can beat Michigan. They've got still a tough road. I don't think the stumble happens. Remember, Michigan beat their brains in last year. I think it was like 49-10. They're going to remember that. I think they're going to take it out on Michigan. I think I've made my thoughts pretty clear yesterday about Michigan. We know their defense is good, but their offense just stinks.
I'm with you.
It's terrible.
I don't think they're very good.
But that'll be one of the big ones on Saturday. Tennessee will be down in Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama. And Alabama is currently installed as a 5-touchdown favorite. Just let that sink in.
68-3.
35-point favorite.
I joke 68-3, but what I've seen lately, that wouldn't surprise me.
Come on, I don't think it'll be that bad. It's not going to be like Ole Miss, 66-3.
I know. But Tennessee has shown me nothing to say that, they haven't scored a touchdown in, 10 quarters?
Well, we'll find out.
You think they're going to do it against Alabama?
We'll have it for pick six. We're going to do whatever, 35.5 or 34.5 or whatever it is by Friday.
If you can't score a touchdown on South Carolina, how are you going to do it on Alabama? That's what I want to know.
It's not just South Carolina. They've gone 10 quarters.
I know.
Without a touchdown. Let's go to Joe Rexroad, the columnist for the Tennessean. Joe, in fact, he'll be down in Tuscaloosa, I believe. Joe, what's up?
Yeah. Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to what should be a classic. I'm sure CBS is excited, too. I mean, it's amazing that CBS would pick this as their national game Saturday.
I understand why, because of their fan base, but they might want to stop putting Alabama on CBS, when they're big, big favorites, like when they came here and they played Vandy and won 59-0, and now they're a 35-point favorite against Tennessee. I mean, I get it. Their fan base is huge. And, you know, in years past, this was the game. I mean, Alabama, Tennessee, third weekend in October, didn't matter where it was at. I mean, this was the game. You knew it was going to be the CBS game of the week because it was going to be a monster game. But, man, it is no longer a monster game. And as I said yesterday, there is no time ever, and I mean ever, Tennessee should be that big of an underdog to Alabama in football. Those two programs should never be separated by five touchdowns, ever.
No, I totally agree. And you know, you think back, I mean, 10 years ago. 10 years ago, you know, things were starting to go bad for Tennessee, but Alabama was in total disarray, and they were wondering, you know, will Alabama ever be Alabama again? You know, and they bring in Nick Saban. So it's a good lesson on you can go around the country and look at all these programs that have cycled down for a few years and come back. If you have all the advantages of a great program, you should come back. But it's pretty sad that Tennessee would get to this point.
Give me your capsule of what you saw last night as the Titans beat the Colts.
Well, I saw a team that really fought back and showed a lot after it was 19-9, starting with Marcus Mariota, you know, throwing the pick six, unfortunate play, great defensive play, I think more than anything, but it was a mistake, and it's 19-9, and you're settling for field goals, your defense can't stop them, and I thought Mariota was terrific in the pocket, not moving around, just standing back there making big-time throws, and then the Titans defense showed a pulse. I mean, in the first half, you know, those numbers are deceiving because both teams had those long – I mean, both teams had three possessions, you know, these long, time-consuming, run-heavy drives. So you didn't get huge numbers, but I thought the Titans defense in the first half was, you know, just right for the pick. I mean, Jacoby Brissett and the Colts did whatever they wanted. So credit to them also for coming back. And that's a really long capsule. I'm sorry, Derek.
No, that's fine. I wanted to hear some of your thoughts because there's a lot of places – to go. I guess let's start. There should be, rightfully so, praise on the offensive side of the ball. We'll come back to that. But the defense hasn't been very good. Yes, it was good enough in Miami, good enough to win. Their offense didn't help them. But the defense hasn't been great. And to see what they did against T.Y. Hilton, and as you said, Brissett early on looked good. But the Colts have been a really, really bad second-half team and a real, even worse, fourth quarter team, and they have been falling apart in the fourth quarter. But just talk about the defense and how they held their own last night and really shut down a really good receiver in T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, that was a pretty obvious game plan from the start, and they stuck with it. I mean, they didn't change in that regard. They were not going to let him beat them. He has beaten them. I mean, last year he just put up big numbers against them both times. They struggled with him. He's a great receiver. Last night I saw a lot of zone coverages, and I saw a lot of extra attention given to him, and it was sort of like, you know, beat us with someone else. And, of course, Jack Doyle got the touchdown, but then Jack Doyle also made some key mistakes. And that, you know, a play that gets lost in that game is the Avery Williamson strip of Jack Doyle in the third quarter, when at that point the Colts were still, they were moving the ball pretty easily. And that really was a game changer for the Titans. You know, that play, obviously Wesley Woodyard, well, he gets that fumble recovery. He gets the fourth down stop at the end. He wins the game, and he also has a huge blitz after that big kick return up the middle, forces Brissett into an unintentional grounding, which forces the Colts to settle for a tying field goal. So, some, you know, those linebackers made big plays. Jayon Brown, three times on third down, got a blitz twice with great coverage and pass breakups against Doyle, you know, so, but the linebackers in particular, you know, stepped up last night and made big plays. And I mean, I still look at the Titans pass rush and say, man, they've got to get more inside. You know, of course, Derek Morgan goes out last night. Eric Walden did a fine job. It's good to have Eric Walden, but inside the interior pass rush was not there last night. I thought it would be there against that Colts offensive line, and that's got to get better for the Titans.
Why hasn't it? Because, I mean, if there's ever a time where you're going to get healthy in that department, it would be against the Colts, and they were unable to do it. Even though you rightfully so praise the linebackers, which their linebacking play last year was not very good. It has been enhanced tremendously this year. Of course, Wesley Woodyard is having a season to remember. I mean, he is just playing out of his mind. He looks like he's back playing for the Denver Broncos back in the prime of his career. I mean, he is playing outstanding. You get good rookie play, as you mentioned, by Brown. But up front, I mean, they have the horses. Why haven't they been able to get to the quarterback?
Yeah, you know, I think, well, I mean, you know, Sylvester Williams is a scratch last night, and so far he just hasn't done a lot. I think, you know, so far that's been disappointing. You know, I think a guy like, you think about last year, a guy like Carl Klug was such a force in that situation. And he was out there. He made some plays last night, but I still think he's not 100% back from that Achilles. He doesn't look like he looked last year. And I think the same is true of Jarrell Casey. I mean, I don't think he has been as dominant this year as he was last year. They had him on the nose at times last night. You know, Austin Johnson made some plays, but I don't know. They just really weren't collapsing the pocket like I expected them to. When you take Derek Morgan out of the equation, now you lose, you know, one of your best pass rushers from the outside. And, of course, we know that Kevin Dodd is a non-factor. I mean, he's just sitting on the shelf right now. And you know, Aaron Wallace is a guy who would be helping the pass rush if he were out there. So, for various reasons, a lot of guys right now are not, you know, doing what the Titans, I hope they would do this season.
Do you subscribe to what I was saying in the first segment of the show, that I actually think the way last night played out and the way this is going to play out for Mariota probably for a while, it may end up being the whole season. Not sure. I'm not a doctor, but I do understand how hamstrings work and how they can work against you and how it's not a quick fix. If this is the way he has to be, and we know he'll have to be this way again on Sunday in Cleveland, I believe this can absolutely help him moving forward for the future of Marcus Mariota, because we all know his strengths, but one of his weaknesses is staying, hanging in there and making the throw rather than tucking and running, because you are playing roulette in the NFL the more you run. And while he's done a good job of learning when to get down and how to protect himself, if you continue to tuck and run in this league, eventually you're going to keep getting hurt. And Russell Wilson has had to adjust his style and his running abilities. He's looking more to scramble just to make the throw, just to buy him a little bit more time. But staying in there last night, you know, instincts took over several times where he would have taken off and he couldn't. So he had to stay in there and make the throw. I think this can only help him down the road. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I can buy that for sure. I mean, I think even before this, there were a lot of plays where he would extend, keep his eyes downfield to make those. But you're right. I think the first drive last night, there were a couple where absolutely that's a takeoff play. You know, first one, two, and three are gone, nothing, go. And, you know, on those plays, a lot of times he picks up 10, 15 yards, so it's good. But hanging in there, you know, he did a great job. The touchdown pass to Taywan Taylor was a great, like, that was like classic pocket footwork, you know, film to show another quarterback, because he just sort of shuffle, hop forward, and then let it go, and perfect pass to Taywan Taylor. Had his feet set, still had, you know, good form on the throw. And that was a great, you know, moving in the pocket moment. And he had, I mean, look, the Titans did a great job protecting him, too. And the question there is, you know, like this week even, Myles Garrett. I mean, there are going to be other teams that have more pass rush to threaten him with. So I still think it's certainly better for the Titans if he can get the green light and can be all himself to run out of there when he can. But, no, I could totally buy the idea that sort of being forced to do this could be something that helps grow his game a little bit.
Why the emergence of Eric Decker last night? Everybody's been kind of waiting for this. Last night he hauled in 7 catches for 88 yards. Why did it come together last night?
You know, that's a good question. I thought that this would happen from the start after watching them in camp.
I feel like every stat line for Decker this year has been 3 catches for 12 yards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just little dinks and just not really getting separation downfield. Mike Mularkey said last night, you know, Mariota actually, you know, changed a couple things at the line looking to Decker. You have to try to get Decker some plays on crossing routes. So, I don't know, but I thought those two had a great chemistry all through camp. You know, of course, you know, Decker was banged up some too, which hurt that, but that's a big development. I think that's an underrated development from last night. You know, Taywan Taylor shows he can stretch the field. They still need Corey Davis back, I think, for this team to get
who?
After a championship. Yeah, exactly.
Who?
That's what Terry Rubisky said last week. Like, I don't even think about Corey Davis, but you know, but he's going to have to be in there. But that's big for them, for Decker to, on the outside, go out there and get a couple big physical moments of, you know, getting past the sticks, you know, moving the chains. And he just looked a little quicker, just a little more effective last night. So maybe that's something they can build on. They need that to be more of a consistent thing, because teams are just throwing everything at Delanie Walker, one, and Rishard Matthews, two. And so those guys are going to have opportunities.
DeMarco Murray, how concerned are you? Because while he still helped them last night, and he needs to be out there, but you can tell he is hampered by his hamstring injury too. I mean, he is not the same DeMarco Murray we watched last year, at least the first half of the season, until he started getting banged up. He is not the same player. He's probably going to be dealing with this too for most of the season. Does that mean they need to continue to give Derrick Henry, I mean, Derrick Henry, 19 carries last night. Does this need to be kind of the theme moving forward?
Yeah, probably. You know, I mean, because, there were times last night, Darren, when he's on the sideline with the wrap on the hammy, and he takes it off. And really, I thought he was done. I thought he was done at that point. And then he takes it off, and he goes up there, and actually the next possession, he's, taking it in the end zone and, strong, powerful run. Four straight times the same play, 14 yards, finally gets it in the end zone. So, you know, he's showing toughness. He still made some good plays in the passing game. He's still an effective player. But, yeah, I agree. I mean, when is he going to be fully himself? Maybe this bye week coming up, you know, gets him better. But, you know, like you said, the hamstrings just are hard to totally get rid of. So I do think Derrick Henry, I think he's earned more workload. Even before the touchdown run, you know, the power run up the middle, you know, to get the first down, the two runs that got him close and then over. I mean, that is powerful stuff right there from Derrick Henry. And I think 15 carries plus for him moving forward, I would think.
All right, last thing. If they go to Cleveland and do what they're supposed to do and what everybody does against Cleveland, and that is beat them, and they go into the bye week 4-3, Titans fans should feel what during the bye week? Good, bad, what should be the feeling here, a 4-3 Titans team with a little bit, one game over, what, 9 games to go?
I would go pretty good because, again, I do think the offense, it's going to require health. It's going to require Corey Davis. It's going to require, Mariota not having a setback and all that, and Taylor Lewan's back with his knee. That seems like, but the offense, if it builds on what it did, I think that's also part of it. How does it look against Cleveland? Because it should put up big numbers. But you got to feel good about that. I don't think you're ever going to feel great about this defense. I mean, it's just got to be solid. Keep you in games. Let the offense win games. But at 4-3 with a bye, with the Texans as banged up as they are on defense, the Jaguars as erratic as they are, I think you got to feel pretty good.
So you told me at the beginning you're going to Tuscaloosa. Does that mean you're not going to Cleveland, or you're going to do both? You're going to be Tuscaloosa and Cleveland the next day?
Oh, yes, my friend. A nice 5 a.m. Birmingham to Atlanta to Cleveland, and I'll get to the stadium about 11:30, an hour and a half before kick. Should be great.
Oh, boy. Boy, oh, boy. Been there, done that stuff. Have fun.
Thanks, man.
This should be a good weekend.
Chick-fil-A won't be open, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, good to talk to you as always. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Joe Rexrow, columnist for the Tennessean. Back to wrap up the first hour of 3D. That's next.
Welcome back into 3D. ESPN 102.5, The Game. Chase McCabe and Ryan Porth live from the Jack Daniel's Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Chase. How's it going?
Doing well. A little tired today. You know, late night, Monday night football in town.
Yep.
John Gruden, you know, keeps you up late.
He does.
But
with his Gruden grinder.
With the Gruden grinder. But a nice win for the Tennessee Titans. I said on the final drive on Sunday night that the Titans had an opportunity to have a confidence-building win. And had you asked me if I still believe that, you know, when we were in the third quarter, I probably would have said,
no.
I don't know. But you look at how they played in the fourth quarter and what they were able to do, 21 points in the final stanza. They have to feel pretty good this morning after defeating the Indianapolis Colts, the AFC South opponent, and ending that 11-game losing streak.
Well, it goes along with the theme that we've seen from the Titans throughout the season of finishing strong. And in Jacksonville and at home against Seattle, those second halves were awesome for the Tennessee Titans. And in the three wins, when you include last night's, you know, Monday night win with 21 points in the fourth quarter, they closed strong again. And I think that's a positive for the Titans. Now, there are some concerns offensively, not only with injuries, because DeMarco Murray was clearly hampered in the run game. You don't know when Corey Davis is going to come back. Marcus Mariota, I would say, was probably anywhere from 60 to 75% of himself last night. You know, they got to get healthy before we can start talking about the AFC South with this team, because if they keep struggling through injuries and, you know, putting Band-Aids on the depth chart and all that, I don't know. Look, they could not convert when they got deep in the Colts territory until the fourth quarter. They were settling for field goals. It looked like a Jeff Fisher coach team again. There are concerns that I have about this offense, but, you know, some concerns going into last night, like, you know, Darren mentioned with Joe Rexroad last segment with Eric Decker. It was nice to see Eric Decker have a clutch performance, 7 catches, 88 yards, where we hadn't seen that from him yet. So I think there are some positives and negatives, but there's still more to be seen from this Titans offense.
Couple of thoughts that I have, and Darren and I touched on this briefly, but I'll start with the run game. 34 carries for the team, 168 yards, 2 touchdowns. Now, obviously, Derrick Henry had a big chunk of that with a 72-yard run there at the end of the game for the touchdown. He had 131 on the night, his first career game where he went over 100. I think with DeMarco Murray hampered by the hamstring, I mean, it was obvious. He had times where he was effective, and he was better, 40 yards, but you can tell it's hurting him. If I'm Mike Mularkey, I'm going with 22 until I know that Murray is healthy, because I've said this time and time again. You need DeMarco Murray down the stretch when you're trying to win a division, or, hey, who knows, this AFC is not very good. You could possibly get in on a wild card. You need DeMarco Murray later on down the line. Go with Derrick Henry until he's better.
I would agree to an extent. You know, Derrick Henry, I didn't think could get much going until he popped the 72-yard run to close out the game. And really, the run game as a whole, if you take out the 72 yards, it's 33 carries for 96 yards. I mean, that's not even averaging 3 yards a carry. I didn't see any consistency with the run game. If you take out the 72 yards for Derrick Henry stats alone, it's 18 carries for 59 yards. So, you know, the run game I didn't think was all that good last night. There was a 3rd-and-2, I believe, in the second quarter where Derrick Henry tried to bounce it outside and did not, you know, the refs didn't even award him a yard on the play. But I just wasn't all that impressed with the run game. You know, DeMarco Murray was more effective in the pass game than he was on the ground. And I don't know if the Titans win that game last night with Matt Cassel at quarterback, because
they don't
because the run game, you know, the Colts did a good job stopping the run when you had Marcus in there, and they would have had more people in the box, more defenders in the box, if Matt Cassel was at quarterback. So Marcus, I thought that was a gutty performance. Kudos to him for playing through the hamstring injury and performing like he did with his first 300-plus yard performance of the season. Only 2 rush attempts for 0 yards, but I thought he was pretty good from the pocket last night.
Well, and I think he was too. And a point that I kind of wanted to make, you look at the receiving stats for this team last night. Decker, of course, led the way with 7 receptions, 88 yards. But Rishard Matthews had a good night. Taywan Taylor had a good night. Granted, only 2 catches, and the big one was that 53-yard touchdown that he got. But DeMarco Murray, as you mentioned, Delanie Walker, kind of a pedestrian night for him. But my point is, Mariota was spreading the ball around more than I think we have seen in a long time. And I think you have to credit the fact that he had to stand back in the pocket. He couldn't roll out like we're used to seeing. So I think he had more options. I liked that. And I think that's going to make him better long term.
Well, I thought with Taywan Taylor, you mentioned him. He had the two catches for 61 yards. But that's all you need from him in this offense this year as a rookie.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the big play threat without Corey Davis in there. And we saw the big play, 53-yard touchdown, the first of his career.
Wide open.
I love Taywan Taylor. They need to involve him more in the offense. You know, I believe it was Jared and the GM yesterday talking about this. They could involve him more in the offense, like the Chiefs utilize a DeAnthony Thomas or some of the, you know, Tyreek Hill, some of the guys that they have in their offense. Taywan Taylor is talented enough where you could use him on jet sweeps, use him out of the backfield a little bit more, give maybe a little bit more of the lightning aspect of Thunder and Lightning with Derrick Henry, add some of that aspect to the offense, especially with DeMarco Murray hurting a little bit.
He's Ryan Porth. I'm Chase McCabe. When we come back, the Predators had an optional morning skate today. We'll update you on some injuries and look ahead to tonight against the Colorado Avalanche. Colin Wilson making his return to Bridgestone Arena with the Avs, and the Avs are off to a pretty decent start. Is that going to hold up? We will discuss when we come back on 3D ESPN 102.5 The Game.